The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. Nikki Mercafori and I kind of alternate in teaching here, except when both of us are out of town, sitting retreat, teaching retreat, or something, we have substitute teachers. So it won't always be me or Nikki. And tonight I wanted to say a little bit something about loving kindness, with emphasis on the kindness part. We might think that kindness is kind of weak, right? It doesn't have the reputation in our society is maybe like fall in terms of desirability after a sharp wit or being invulnerable. Or being powerful, or being smart. These types of things we tend to think like, oh, definitely more important than kindness. In fact, maybe kindness seems wimpy, or maybe a little bit of a cop-out or something, instead of, you know, being in somebody's face telling them really how it is or something like that. To be kind, maybe it seems like too easy, or that's like some quaint, old-fashioned kind of virtue. After all, if we think about the heroes in the media, in the movies or books or something, sometimes the heroes aren't kind, but the sidekick is kind, right? So we might, and we also might think that kindness... we may like only turn to kindness after we've other things that we've tried didn't work. Maybe we thought, well, if I just have to understand better, or I just have to make sure that everybody else understands better, or something like this, before we would resort to kindness. But I think if you were to reflect on your life, the people that have really touched your life, chances are that they were kind. And that's part of how and why they touched your life. This is part of what we can do too, right? We can touch other people's lives with kindness. It turns out that actually kindness is very powerful. It's very powerful. To be able to touch and connect with another person. Maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's somebody you've never seen before. But a smile, an eye contact, a recognition, yes, you exist, I see you, makes a difference. It does make a difference. We don't have to wait until that we have the bravery to do grand gestures or that we have the ideas to do grand gestures. Instead, what if kindness is the bold, courageous thing to do? Sometimes it's easier just to be dismissive. Sometimes it's easier to say, oh yeah, this person doesn't know or doesn't understand or is crazy or I can't stand them, or, you know, we have a long list. What if we can imagine, right? It takes actually some courage. It's bold to be kind towards those people that maybe we disagree with, or we can't understand, seem incomprehensible to us, or their values are different than ours. They behave in a way that we don't think is appropriate, or certainly not a way that we would behave. What if being kind is the bold, courageous thing to do? What if being kind is a powerful way to make a difference? Maybe not the big, giant difference, donating $1 billion and creating a foundation or just something like that, right? These big gestures, that's something different. But being kind is something that we can do all the time with everybody. And it can be manifest in so many different ways, right? As I said, just holding the door for somebody, putting the shopping cart back, up to near where they're supposed to go, rather than leaving it there in the parking lots and other people have to avoid it with their cars. when you see your neighbor's newspaper way down, like in the gutter, just to toss it up closer to their porch so that they don't have to go so far to get their paper, if anybody gets newspapers. So this practice, loving kindness practice, is a meditation. It's this idea that we don't have to just leave to chance, this idea that we'll feel kind or remember to be kind or our mind can incline towards kindness. We can cultivate this, we can develop this, we can train our minds to just incline that way. Make it a little bit easier that kindness will arise in all kinds of situations. The loving kindness practice is a way in which we can set the intention that we want to be with a little bit more kindness in the world. We want to have our lives be about helping others, or at least not harming others, even with our thoughts or sometimes our actions. This way, our lives can count in a certain way. They can be inspired. They can maybe inspire other people if they see us behaving in a kind way. So with loving kindness practice, we use three elements. And it's likely that you will find that one of these three elements is easier for you, have a little bit more access to, makes more sense. That's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. I think that's how it is. So the three elements, I'll talk a little bit about each. One is to bring to mind a person for whom you're going to send loving kindness. The second is to be aware of the felt sense in the body. And the third is to use phrases to kind of help remind us, to kind of bring the mind like back, yes, we're cultivating loving kindness. So I'll start with bringing to mind. Maybe I'll start with this, actually. For those of you who have been coming for a while, you know that, okay, when Diana's here, we do loving kindness for the benefactor and for the self. I'm going to add a third person, and that is a neutral person, somebody whom you don't know. So it could be somebody like the mail carrier, the grocery clerk, a bus driver, you know, somebody that we may recognize, but we never have a conversation besides just, hi, how are you, weather's nice, or something like this. And if you can't bring a particular individual to mind, you can think of, like, well, yeah, when I go to the grocery store, maybe next time I'll notice who the clerk is, or when I get my car repaired, or whatever it is, whenever you have interactions with people that, you know, there's just a general interaction, people that you don't necessarily have relationships with. So today we'll bring to mind first a benefactor, and then ourselves, and then a neutral person. When you bring to mind, for me, I used to have this idea that I was a terrible visualizer because I had this idea that I should have this perfect digital high-resolution image of this person. You don't need to do that. It's just more a felt sense of, maybe you feel it, or maybe it's like you have a sense what they are, but their face has no detail. Maybe it's more the way they, this general sense of how they are. For me, I often am noticing that kind of like their height, are they like tall and skinny, or are they not so tall? This is something that often it's the only detail that I have. I just offer that to say there's lots of ways in which we can do this. Maybe you're trained as an artist or something, and it's easy for you to visualize. So we'll bring the person to whom we're going to send loving kindness. And then we'll also periodically check in with the body, with the felt sense in the body. Usually we humans usually kind of feel a lot of our emotions in this central axis, in the center of the body. Often loving kindness, we look towards the heart center, right here in the middle of the chest. And it can be very subtle, and it can be unremarkable, that you wouldn't necessarily notice it unless you were of looking, but maybe there's a little softness, a little flickering, a little warmth, a little sense of opening. Sometimes people feel this in their belly too, like certain relaxation or warmth or something like this. And sometimes people don't have any feeling whatsoever. That's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine, whatever your experience is. And then the third element are phrases that, just like with mindfulness practice where we keep on bringing the mind back to the object, in the same way the phrases help to remind us to kind of incline the mind towards loving kindness. There's nothing magical or special in particular about these phrases. It's kind of what the tradition holds. So you're completely welcome to modify them and change them in a way that makes sense for you, that resonates for you, something that you want to do. So with that as an introduction, let's do a little bit of loving kindness practice. But we'll start with a little bit of relaxation. So we can take an alert, upright posture. And let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths. And you know, Kristen, can I ask you to put the volume up just a little bit? Thank you. I think that'll be a little bit better so I don't have to speak so loudly. Thank you. And perhaps with each exhale, there can be a letting go, a relaxation, a softening. Maybe not, too. It's okay. It can be helpful to do a very gentle body scan at the beginning. Human beings, like, sometimes hold tension in their face. Often around the eyes, the jaw, mouth. Maybe there can be some more relaxation there. We can check in with the neck, the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Arms, hands. The back. Can there be some uprightness and relaxation? If you're reclining, maybe you can just feel the support of the ground supporting you if you're laying down. Your chest and belly. And if you're sitting, you can feel the support of the chair or the cushion against your body, trusting gravity to do its work while we maintain some uprightness. The legs and the feet can feel grounded. We're here now. Right now there's nothing else to do and nowhere else to be except just here, doing this. We'll do a few moments of mindfulness of breathing. So you can place your attention on the sensations of breathing. That is the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Choose one of those three, whichever feels the most comfortable, the most accessible. And very simply, we'll just keep our attention on the movements associated with breathing. It's the nature of the mind to do a lot of thinking. If you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply begin again with placing your attention on the sensations of breathing. Relax. If you find yourself lost in thought, just very simply begin again. Bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice. Maybe before we go there, I'll say, if ever during this practice you feel overwhelmed or confused or just not sure, you can always come back to this, the sensations of breathing. This can be a home base. This can be a refuge, perhaps. So with loving-kindness practice, bring to mind a benefactor. It's the traditional word for somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, kindness, love. Choose any of those words, all of those words. Somebody for whom it's easy for the heart to soften a little bit. That may be somebody you know. Maybe somebody you don't know. Maybe it's a leader of some sort. And some people like to use kittens or babies, puppies. I said last week I saw these chipmunks recently that I just fell in love with. They were so adorable. Just a way to kind of like prime the pump in some ways, so to speak, of the loving kindness. So bring to mind the lovable being. You might check in with the body and see if there is any sensations associated with warmth, care, love. As I said, there may not be, which is perfectly fine. And then to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness, to cultivate kindness in our hearts and minds, we'll say the phrases. And you can repeat after me silently in your mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body. There might be a small feeling. There might be a large feeling. There might be no feeling of warmth, care, well-wishing. If there is a feeling of warmth, softness, there's nothing that needs to happen. It's perfectly fine the way it is. But perhaps, just perhaps, it can be bigger. We don't have to make it be bigger. Just allow it to grow. Perhaps bring in our mind again to the lovable being. Kind of refresh our intention. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I'll be silent here for a few moments. You can go at your own pace. Maybe exploring with different phrases. And then to expand our loving kindness, we'll include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. Well-wishing, care, warmth, respect. It turns out that we can cultivate this and have this experience of love without waiting for the perfect conditions, the perfect person. So you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. It can either be visually, you can visualize yourself as you are now, as you are recently, where recently, maybe in a time when you felt really happy and relaxed. Maybe a younger version of yourself, even a baby. Or you can do like how does it feel to sit here? Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or the floor. Whichever feels easiest or most comfortable. If there is a sense of warmth and care, softness in the heart or belly or wherever in the body, again, it may not be the dominant experience. It may be subtle. It may be unremarkable. But if you find that there's a quiet, soft feeling, allow yourself to soak in that, to take it up. Take it in. And then to support loving kindness for ourselves, we'll just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes when we do loving kindness practice, a lot of emotion may arise. Sometimes it's the opposite of loving kindness. That's okay. It's all okay. If that happens, if some difficult emotions arise, see if you can make your awareness bigger. Fill up this whole room with your awareness while just allowing the uncomfortable emotions to be there. In some kind of way, wish them some loving kindness. It's the truth of what's happening at this moment. We don't have to make it go away. We can just fold it in. Again, reconnecting with the felt sense in the body. Maybe it feels a little bit different than loving kindness for a benefactor. Maybe it feels the same. It's perfectly fine, however it is. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a little bit where you can practice loving kindness for yourself in a way that may perhaps in your own way, or perhaps just continuing with the phrases. You're welcome to explore or experiment. And then to expand our loving kindness one more time. This time for a neutral person, somebody that we don't know. As I mentioned, it may be somebody at a store, mail carrier, a neighbor that we sometimes see but we've never spoken with, or whomever. You can bring this person to mind. Maybe you'll notice that the felt sense in your body has changed. Maybe it hasn't. And then we'll extend loving kindness to somebody we don't know. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent. You can choose whether you'd like to continue with loving kindness for the lovable being, for yourself, for the neutral person, whichever feels like the right thing to do right now. Maybe you find that loving kindness for the lovable being is like kindle that kind of helps light the fire. So that when the fire dies down a little bit, you can put some kindling in. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the cushion or the chair or the floor underneath you. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in the beginning, I talked about kindness. So this practice, I read an analogy that another meditation teacher wrote, and I thought it was kind of an interesting one. He has said that, you know, sometimes we may work all day on Monday, but there's no paycheck at the end of Monday. We may do all this work. We work all day on Tuesday, and there's no paycheck on the end of Tuesday. We work all day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but there's a paycheck on Friday. He said sometimes meditation practice is like that. That maybe you feel something, you have some softness or some warmth or loving kindness on Friday, but you only got the paycheck, quote unquote, because you had done the work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So just a reminder that just because we are creating the conditions here and we're setting the intention for cultivating loving kindness, there's no guarantee that it's going to arise, that we're going to feel filled up with love or kindness or warmth. But it does have an effect to repeatedly kind of incline the mind. If we may not feel it right here in meditation, it does affect our lives. It may show up sometime later when you respond to somebody in a kind way. Or maybe you'll see somebody and you'll think like, oh, may you be happy. You'll just spontaneously arise in your mind. And this way that our lives can be filled with what we care about deeply. I think people care about kindness and, you know, well-wishing for each other. I'd be really surprised if there were somebody in this room who didn't want to kind of promote a sense of well-wishing, warmth, care. So loving-kindness practice, whether it's for ourselves or for a benefactor or for a neutral person, can really help kind of with this cultivation, this development of kindness. So, would anybody like to share a comment? How was that for you? Do you have any questions? This time I introduced the idea of a neutral person. In the past I've done it with usually a benefactor in the self. How was that for a neutral person? Was it neutral? Was it easy? Was it more difficult? Maybe you found it a little bit difficult to stay with it. It wasn't quite as juicy or something like this. Can we send a microwave?
So, granted, this is the first time.
I think that it was. Okay, there we go.
Okay, granted, this is the first time that I've done the loving kindness meditation. So, it was this a discovery for me. But what surprised me was that it was the person that I didn't know where there seemed to be the most depth. I had the sense that the person I did know, the benefactor, and the myself, that experience was kind of two-dimensional. But the person I didn't know was entirely different, and there was just a high level of activity and an openness. So, yeah.
And when you say a high level of activity, can you say a little bit more activity? Like,
being able to focus on different aspects of that person and kind of imagine and infer to experience, have a experience a response to those things.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes at the. Are you cold? Can we turn off the air conditioning? maybe that's the spot that's right off of the bed. I'm sorry. There's a pillow behind you too. Like, oh, you brought your own warmth here. Going to say that sometimes when we're doing loving kindness for a benefactor or for ourselves, sometimes those relationships are a little bit complicated. They're not quite as simple. And people we don't know, right, our relationships are a little more simple. And so it's sometimes just easier to have this sensation of loving kindness. As well as by the time we got to the neutral person, right, we had been meditating, we had been quiet for some time. And maybe that's part of it, too, because sometimes it gets easier the further along you go, just getting a little bit more settled and the kind of the busyness of the mind is starting to kind of drift away a little bit. I can support that, but thank you. Anybody else have something to share? Yes, there's a microphone right here.
Okay, there. I tried the visualization and the felt sense, which I normally don't do, and it seemed to really highlight during the lovable being portion. When I shifted from those to doing the phrases, which is what I usually do, it really helped me see that sometimes I have a real sense of clinging that comes up with the phrases, where it's like this intense wish that this person be well and happy and peaceful. And how would I work with that clinging that comes up?
And the clinging was highlighted in comparison to like some softness or openness that you felt in your body? Or how did you experience the clinging?
There was some tension, yeah, with that, where with the visualization and the felt sense, it was a more peaceful calm.
Yeah. So a number of things. One is to put more attention on the felt sense here. And I know I'm up here with a microphone saying the phrases, but you could drop the phrases too. And just sometimes we just use, I talked a little bit about priming the pump or putting kindle on the fire. Sometimes maybe we'll just use the phrases to help a little bit and then drop them. Instead, just kind of do with the felt sense, this feeling of warmth or care. And it's subtle and vague and diffuse, most likely. I don't know exactly how it is for you, but it's different than a phrase, which, right, has a, it's an ending. That's one. Second thing is, I'm going at a certain pace. Maybe you can find a pace that's a little bit more easeful for the phrases. Maybe there's a little more space in between them. Third thing is, instead of "may you be happy," maybe it starts with "happy, healthy, live with ease." So to kind of drop the "may you be" part in the beginning and instead just focus on kind of the wish for happiness or the wish for health and safety and well-being. So those are three things that you can try, you can experiment and explore with. Yeah, it was a great question. Thank you. Yes.
So I found myself bouncing around with images, you know, with a benefactor. I thought of, you know, my dog, and then I thought of a very good friend of mine, and I would kind of bounce back and forth. And then with the neutral, the same thing. I had a, you know, I'd start concentrating on someone, and I'd think, oh, but what about that person, right? So to get the full effect, do you think it's better to just, you know, make the mind focus and stay with that one person, or do you think it's just as effective to have these other people popping up?
So let me ask you, were you able to check in with your body and see how the felt sense was? Did it feel like there was some warmth or softness happening,
yeah,
even though you're kind of bouncing around?
It felt like for each being, like there was like light shining on them and softness. So, yeah.
Yeah, then it sounds like it works weather, even despite that.
Okay.
It's very common. It's
okay.
Not so easy sometimes to just like choose one person to stay with it.
Yeah.
And often loving kindness practice, this specific practice, is done to promote concentration. And if that's what we were doing, we would say it's probably best just to stay. But we're not doing that. We're here just trying to cultivate warmth and care and loving kindness. So if you found that it was able to still cultivate that, then I think it's fine.
Okay.
And it can be maybe with more practice that things will settle down. Maybe not, too.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a comment or a question? How was the volume? Was the volume getting low when I was speaking. I just want to check in with you guys. Because I would sometimes feel like, oh, am I too quiet? Or maybe I need to speak louder. Was it okay? Okay. Okay. It's hard for me to tell. I'm here and you guys are out there. So. Okay. So I wish you all health and safety, happiness, and ease. I'll stay up here if you have some questions, and otherwise I wish you all a lovely evening. Thank you.